Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Use it to your advantage. There's no barrier to entry. Everything there is free. Check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. It's all there for you. Marlo Lewis is back, ladies and gentlemen. Marlo is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he writes on energy issues, global warming issues, and other public policy issues. And he was here a few months ago to tell us about something that was going on in the courts. And I've asked him to join us again today to give us a little bit of an update on all that. Marlo, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you here. When you were here last, you reported to us that a group of attorneys general across the country, I don't remember how many states, had taken the government to court, if I understand this correctly, to try to get the EPA to essentially conform to Kyoto, even though the United States refused to join the Kyoto Accords, which I was very proud of them for not joining the Accords. I felt this way, you know, all the way back to 1998, and I haven't changed my mind since then. Even though the United States is not part of Kyoto, these attorneys general want the EPA to essentially do that. Am I correct about that?
Yes, although of course they would deny that they would say that we're stretching things by putting it in those terms, but in fact, substantively, I think what you just said is accurate. There were 12 states joined by several cities and probably a baker's dozen of environmental groups who sued the Environmental Protection Agency, and they sued them under a provision of the Clean Air Act, Section 202, which has to do with regulating emissions from automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make the case that carbon dioxide is a pollutant, an air pollutant, and therefore EPA's only obligation is to decide whether or not this air pollutant may reasonably be anticipated to endanger public health or welfare. And if EPA judges that carbon dioxide does endanger public health or welfare, then EPA must regulate it. In fact, there's much more that the attorneys general are trying to do here. They know full well that if EPA were to make a judgment, an official judgment, in a regulatory proceeding that carbon dioxide endangers public health or welfare, that EPA would be obligated to regulate it not only from automobiles, but mm-hmm. from power plants, and in fact from every significant source throughout the economy.
And if not, that would be the subject of the next lawsuit.
Right, exactly. And in fact, the three of the states that are suing EPA, including Massachusetts, which is the lead lead attorney in the case, have already filed a notice of intent to sue EPA. That was back in 2003, unless EPA issues a national ambient air quality standard for carbon dioxide. That would put every part of the U.S. economy, not just new automobiles, under a carbon dioxide limitation. And in the National Ambient Air Quality Standards Program, EPA is forbidden to consider cost or technological feasibility when setting these standards. And EPA is supposed to set those standards low enough And these are standards that have to do with the amount of an air pollutant in the air. Okay, so EPA would have to set a standard of parts per million in the air of CO2 low enough to, quote, protect public health and welfare with an adequate margin of safety. Now, that
let me stop you for a second. Let me stop, Marlo. Let me stop you for a second.
Okay, sure.
I want to put this in perspective for folks who may be tired of, you know, who may be glazing over at CO2s and parts per million and all that. Folks,
right.
here's the essence for you and me.
Yes.
The more the government regulates CO2. In the vehicles, in the equipment that we currently have, that you and I use in our businesses, that all people use across the world, the more you and I, it's regulated so that you and I are limited in how we can use those devices, how much we can use them, and the stuff that we put in them and what comes out of them, the more the United States government regulates those things, the less competitive our nation and our economy will be against the countries across the globe. Now, that's been my argument since day one, Marlo, about Kyoto, and that is that, and I wrote an article about this. I said, global warming may not be junk science, but Kyoto is junk policy. And the point I'm making here, folks, is that Marlo, these attorneys general have proven what I said in 1998, and that is this. People have said, well, if everybody has to comply with the same thing, why wouldn't it be uncompetitive for everybody? Well, in Kyoto, everybody doesn't have to comply. Certain countries like China and India, for example, would not have to. And you and I both know, Marlo, there are no environmental groups. There are no attorneys general in Germany and France and England who would take those governments to court like our own people have to make them comply with Kyoto. And these guys have proven my point.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. We take treaties very seriously here, and there are provisions in our Clean Air Act and other environmental laws.
Because we have advocacy groups with righteous indignation,
right? But you know, the point that I was getting at with the discussion of parts per million, I know it's kind of arcane, but is that in principle, a national ambient air quality standard for carbon dioxide could be much more restrictive than Kyoto. And these attorneys general know that. And they want to put the EPA in a position where EPA can always be sued to issue stricter and stricter regulation.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Marlo. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to ask, when I come back, I'm going to ask Marlo, who are these 12 states? And a couple of other questions about those guys. And what are we going to do next? And what are the courts saying about this? The Supreme Court is hearing this right now. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Appropriate music to lead us into our next discussion, continuing our discussion with Marlo Lewis, Jr., who's senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Marlo, who are these states that are suing the government, these attorneys general in these 12 or so states? Who are these guys? How many red states, how many blue states?
Well, let me see. I want to give you an accurate count here. Here we go. We have, of course, Massachusetts, which is the lead attorney in the case.
No big surprise.
The state that's leading the case. I mean, the case is called Massachusetts versus EPA. We also have California with Attorney General Bill Lockyer. We have Connecticut, Attorney General Blumenthal.
We don't need to know the attorney general's names because we won't remember that.
Illinois. So we have Illinois, which I guess, you know, is kind of in the blue column, but
yeah,
no, not totally.
It's kind of pink. Right. It's kind of pink, but anyway.
Yeah,
New
okay,
York, I'm sure.
Maine,
New Jersey, Maine.
Right, Maine. Right.
Vermont.
New Jersey, New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah. New Mexico, also Vermont, the state of Washington, Oregon, Rhode Island, The District of Columbia, you've got a couple of cities here involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the District of Columbia, you know where their politics is. We also have American Samoa.
Oh, that's great. That's really
New York City.
That's strategic. Samoa there. Uh-huh.
Right. New York
okay.
City.
Yeah.
Baltimore. And let me see who else.
We get the idea. You know, Marlo,
yep.
More and more these days, I keep thinking about the sage wisdom of Pogo.
Okay.
You remember what Pogo, you know who Pogo is, right? The possum in the cartoon?
Yes, I do. But
okay. Pogo said? He was looking out over the landscape, and he said, "We have seen the enemy, and he is us." And that's how I feel about some of these groups, some of these organizations, and for states who are trying to, you know, who on the one hand, you got all these states who are saying, you know, come to New York, come to Massachusetts, do business here, bring your businesses here. Let me ask you a question. Is Michigan on that state? On that list?
No.
I wouldn't think so. I'm glad they aren't. But you know, Michigan is one of those states who's advertising all over the country, you know, come to Michigan and do business. But all the states do that. So if they're behaving this way, folks, here's the thing. CO2 very well may be causing problems for this planet. CO2 may very well be accelerating the natural progression of global warming. I don't think it causes global warming. I think it probably exacerbates it at least. I don't argue that there may be global warming going on, that humans may be doing something to cause it, Marlo. But the problem is if we're going to fix this, this has got to be a global fix. It can't just be at the expense of one group of people, Americans, and it can't be just because we're the wealthiest economy in the world. That's not fair.
That's right. That's right. Because, and you know, if the U.S. economy suffers, so does the whole world.
That's exactly right. And that's the part these people don't get. Now, here's what I need to know from you, Marlo. Where is this in the court? Has the Supreme Court heard the case?
Yes, the Supreme Court has heard the oral argument of the case that happened last week, and I've heard that the court will likely render a decision early next year, say in March, maybe as late as April.
And so the die is cast. We don't know what they're going to do, but nothing can be done now except wait. Is that right?
That's correct.
Did the Competitive Enterprise Institute offer a position on this to the court?
What we did is we provided legal services for a group of scientists that submitted a friend of the court brief.
Right.
Because a group of scientists on the other side submitted a friend of the court brief, and we thought that it was important that the court get a balanced view of the science,
right,
not just hear from one side.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's very hard to read the tea leaves. I think that it's quite clear that Congress never intended for EPA to regulate carbon dioxide and to establish a regulatory system like this. And the attorneys general are really trying to tease out a mandate to do this from the general definition, a two-sentence definition of the Clean Air Act. And, you know, that's not the way Congress goes about authorizing and setting up huge regulatory programs with enormous economic impacts and political consequences.
I am
hopeful that the Supreme Court will decide that regulating carbon dioxide is the type of decision that only our elected representatives should make, and they haven't made it yet, at least not on the national level.
If the court goes the wrong way, for me at least, and I'm assuming for you, what recourse do we have? Can the legislature overturn that?
Yes.
They can't.
Congress would basically have to amend the Clean Air Act to clarify that this was never Congress's intent.
Right. Folks,
that
this
would
is...
Be, you know, that, it would
this
be,
is,
that would
th-
be a very hard battle to win.
Yeah.
Because,
they'd have to do it. Hey, Marlo, I got to wrap it up. Give us your website, please.
Okay, it is CEI.org.
An outstanding organization. Folks, I encourage you to go there and read all of the things that Marlo has written about this topic. Marlo, good job. Thanks for the good fight, and we'll see you next time.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
Marlo Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Quick break. Right back with Tom Asacker. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.